Hello and welcome. I am so glad that you are here today, and we praise God for all that He's done for us. Happy, happy day and happy week. And I pray that God is with you. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to say Jesus forever. And here behind me are all these baby stuff. Diapers and car seats and these cribs that we need to assemble. And so I'm right now in my living room because in my bedroom, in my closet, it's kind of stuffy and kind of like really, it gets really hot in there. So I'm here just to praise God and just to say He's our Lord and thank Him for this living room. Praise the Lord. Amen. And hey, Angela, Goofy, everyone. Wow, so beautiful. And today we're going to be looking into whose command will you obey? Will you obey the universe or yourself? Or will you obey God Himself? And we will see whose command will be obeyed in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1 to 16. Now, I was debating if I should go on today, but I was like, I need to go on because people want to hear the word of God, and people want to be encouraged and hear what He has to say to them and be built up. And so that's why we are here to praise God for everything He's done. I thank you guys for that. 6 likes already. Praise the Lord. So let's look into it. Amen. I'm going to read the first 16 verses, and then I'm going to go through some reflections and then some deep dive into the passage and more of these thoughts of what you can do to apply these into your life. And at the end, we're going to have some application questions. And so, get ready, for you are in a treat. And God's going to work on you, build you up, and lead you towards a better place. Amen. So, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. I'm going to get a little comfortable here. And then, sometime later, was an incident involving vineyard belonging to Naboth and the Jezreel. And the vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab. And the vineyard was close to the king of Samaria. And Ahab, he said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. And in exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay whatever it's worth." But Naboth said and replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my father's." And he laid on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. And his wife Jezebel, evil queen, came in and said and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" Hello, welcome everyone. And he answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in the palace, and it's in its place, and it's going to be even better.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Then Jezebel, his wife, said, 'Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat, cheer up, and I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, placed a seal on them, and sent them to the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city with him. And in those letters she wrote, 'Proclaim a day of fasting and seat Naboth in a prominent place among the people. But seat 2 scoundrels opposite of him and have them testify that he has cursed both God and the king, and then take him out and stone him to death.' And the elders and nobles who lived in Naboth's city did as Jezebel directed in the letters that she had written to them. And they proclaimed as a fast and seated Naboth in the prominent place among the people. And then 2 scoundrels came and sat opposite of him and brought charges against Naboth, both the people, saying, 'Naboth has cursed God and the king.' So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death. Then they said to the word, sent word to Jezebel, 'Naboth has been stoned in his stead.' And as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth has been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, 'Get up and take the possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, that he refused to sell you. He is no longer alive, but dead.'
When Ahab heard Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take the possession of Naboth's vineyard. Wow. Hello, Elizabeth, Matt, Jem, TK. Welcome, everyone. So what's some reflection that we can take from here? Some reflection we can see is that there was an active and passive sin. King Ahab, he was the king of Israel. He was evil, and he wants this vineyard, which was close to his palace in Samaria. And when Naboth refuses to sell his vineyard, however, Ahab's wife, Jezebel, has Naboth murdered and killed. And Ahab and Jezebel illustrated what sin can look like in our lives. Like Jezebel, we can actively commit evil against others, although we may sometimes believe our good intentions supersedes God's good commandment. They never do. They never do. God says, thou shalt not murder. So you shall not murder. You shall not kill. But that's exactly what Jezebel did. And also, like Ahab, we can passively commit evil by allowing sin to occur for our own benefit. And we might delude ourselves or live in delulu and into thinking that technically we've done nothing wrong. But this is a self-deception. And we must fight against both active and passive sin by submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, who conquered both sin and death, who conquered evil. He is the man without sin, and he died for you, sinners like you and me, so that you can walk with him in the light of truth. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So, we can learn quite a bit from this. We can see how Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no one that comes to the Father except through him. And we must also not give in to sin. We must, if it is small sin, you still must take care of it, because that small sin turns bigger and bigger and bigger. And once it gets so big, then the consequence gets bigger. And that's why you must be cautious and to walk in the ways of God. Amen? I love God too. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Wow. We can see how the greed of King Ahab really hurt the Israelites, hurt the people that were under him. An introduction to this passage is, can an individual do so much evil that God will condemn the person to hell, to eternal separation from God? Is there a reality in judgment to be faced? Is there even such place as hell? Many people believe not, for they deny of God's very existence. And even some of us who believe in God do not believe in the future day of justice, and that God is going to hold people accountable for their behaviors, for their decisions. Interestingly, most people do not think that God would ever reject them, and not in the final analysis. And most people feel when the day that judgment comes, God will accept them just because they lived a good life, just because they paid and worked hard. But that's not true. The only way is through Jesus and Jesus himself. And so we must turn our eyes back to God and not let our sins overtake us. Nevertheless, no matter what we think or what we believe, there is a day of judgment coming. And according to our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Scripture, there is a place called hell, a prison where all the lawlessness of the earth and all those who rejected Jesus and his Lord and the Lord and his commandment will spend for eternity. In fact, Christ himself, he referred to hell more than he did than any other person in the Scripture. Really? And then probably he referred to hell more than any other person in human history. Wow. Think about this fact. One of the major teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ is that there is a place called hell, and there is a judgment coming, and that day of justice will be determined by the fate of the people, whether they spend eternity with God or in a dreadful place, a prison called hell. And once again, a person can commit evil worthy of judgment and hell, right? This is a practical subject that is painted by the present scripture. And this is the terrible crimes against Naboth by Ahab and Jezebel, facing judgment due to evil, horrible evil. Yeah, Ooh. So, we're going to see. We are reading in the first passage today about the sins of Ahab, his greed, his covetousness, and the crimes of Jezebel and her revenge and murder. And then tomorrow we'll touch on the condemnation of Ahab and Jezebel, a picture of God's coming judgment. So in verse 1 to 4, we read through it, and the sins of Ahab included greed and covetousness. And sometimes after the victory over Syria, Ahab had his infamous wife. They were spending time together in the summer palace located in Jezreel, and the next to the palace was a vineyard which caught the eyes of the king, and he began to envy and be jealous and covet the vineyard. Going to Naboth, the owner, Ahab requested the right to purchase the vineyard, offering either to pay for it or exchange it for a better vineyard. But Naboth, he rejected both offers because the vineyard had been part of his family inheritance for generations and generations. Notice this king, Ahab, he was angry, disappointed, and he had a childish reaction. And he went home to bed, turning his face towards the wall, sulking, pouting, and refusing to eat. And note this fact, Ahab, his desire for the vineyard was not wrong, nor was his offer to purchase the property. What was wrong was his coveting of the field, was the greed that filled his heart with evil, hatred, with dissatisfaction. Moreover, his selfish disposition stirred childish and immature behavior within him, and apparently such shallow immaturity were traits of King Ahab, his character and his personality. And this is something that you need to think about. This is something that will increase you and help you grow. And so, greed and covetousness are forbidden by God. Covetousness is even named and condemned by one of the Ten Commandments. A person who covets will take advantage of people in order to get more and more, and they will never be satisfied. There's no number. The number is always higher. The number never ends. And it's the covetousness and greed that causes a landlord to rent property that needs repair to charge too high a price for that rental property. Rent out a contractor to take shortcuts in his building project, a repairman to use second-hand replacement parts or to perform a medical job, or an employee to abuse his employer by doing personal tasks when he or she is supposed to be on the job. And then a man or a woman to lust after a wife or husband of someone else. Or a person to lie, steal, cheat in order to get what he or she desires. There's so many different ways that people are hurting each other just because they are jealous, just because they do not want to walk in the ways of God and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace is sufficient for me, and you have given me more than enough, and I have more than enough. And I praise you for it. I am so grateful. Thank you, Lord. So this greed can affect any area of your lives. For these terrible evils arise out of the heart. It is from within the heart, the lust and the sinful desires that it originates. So listen to what the Word of God says about these two evils. Not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy, or a filthy lust, but patient, not a brawler nor covetousness. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Woo. He says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. While some covet after, they have erred them from faith and pierced themselves through many sorrow. Yes, not good. James chapter 5, verse 3 says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you, and you shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You shall consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days you have stored up your treasure. And we should be storing our treasures up in heaven, not on earth. It should be for God and not for ourselves. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3. And his sons of who? Was it Levi or Samuel? Anyways, Samuel, I believe. However, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribe and perverted justice. You see, there's so much danger in turning towards money and materialistic things and covetousness, or like just lusting after it. And that's why it's so important to keep your eyes on God and say, He has provided everything I needed, and His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. God is good. Yeah. Jesus forever. And then afterwards, Jezebel saw that Ahab, he was not happy. So she took command. Loreto. And the crimes of Jezebel included revenge and murder. And remember that Jezebel, she was a tyrant who completely given over to evil. And throughout her reign as queen, she launched to purge and eliminate the prophets that worshiped the one true God from the land of Israel. And the depths of her sinful, evil heart was exposed by the scripture that was in this passage. And so when Jezebel, she walked into the bedroom of the palace and found Ahab sulking, pouting, and refusing to eat, she began to be so disgusted. And when she asked her husband what was wrong, Ahab explained that his desire for the vineyard was great, and Naboth, he refused to sell the property to him. And note that he said there was absolutely nothing about Naboth's reason for keeping the property in his family. Nothing about it having been kept about his family's inheritance for generations and generations. Don't you want that too? I would love that too. If it was passed down from my parents down to me, of course I would want to keep it. But of course, you know, sometimes you got to move on and move forward. Amen? Wow. All right. So, being totally fed up with Ahab's weak, immature, and childish behavior, Jezebel questioned if this was how any way a king should be acting. And she ordered him to get up to eat like a child, man-child, and cheer up, for she would take the vineyard for him. Immediately taking action, Jezebel devised a wicked plot against Naboth's life, and she wrote a command to the officials of the city where Naboth lived and ordered them to plot his execution. And note that she used the king's name with the imperial seal to indicate that the command was coming from the king's full authority and power. In the letter, she suggested the pretense of religion be used by proclaiming a day of fast for the citizens of the city. And in ancient times, a day of fast was sometimes set aside in order to show concern that a criminal or some other evil threatened the city. But in addition to using the guise of religion, Jezebel suggested using formality of justice by bribing two false witnesses to charge them both with treason. And finally, Jezebel suggested that the officials, after finding them both guilty, would take him outside the cities and stone him to death. And just like Jezebel commanded under the king's authority, the officials of the city carried out this reprehensible orders, and they used a false pretext of religion fasting to show concerns about some criminal who was loose in the city. Hypocritically, desperately, the official declared that the hand of God's judgment would fall upon them unless the criminal was exposed. In addition, they used the formality of justice. Two scoundrels were bribed. They were bribed to make false charges against them both, making mockery of the judicial justice system. And as a result, the officials executed this innocent man under the false charges commanded by Jezebel. And so, wow, the officials then reported their treacherous act of murder, the horrible, unjustified murder, to the queen. And after hearing the report, Jezebel at once instructed Ahab to get up and to take possession of the vineyard. Obeying her instructions, he traveled down to the vineyard and took possession of the field he so selfishly coveted. Wow, Queen Jezebel, she was very epitome of wickedness. Consumed by evil and corruption, she found it so easy to seek revenge and to take the life of an innocent man. It did not matter to her that she took the man's life just to secure a piece of land so her husband can plant a garden. What a shocking abuse. And so when people, they strike out against us or fail us or disappoint us, we must seek peace and not retaliation or revenge. As we seek peace and not retaliation, and as this is some a thought of the day. I mean, as we walk life day by day, let's do Honda. Anyways, as we walk through life day by day, whether at work, in restaurants, in carpools, in retail store, in business, schools, church, or anywhere else, we are often offended by what other people say or do. Even on a national level, when enemies threaten our country, hello Romeo, we must not immediately retaliate and seek vengeance. As Christian believers, we are to seek peace. And note this fact. Know this fact, that we are never to indulge nor give license to evil. We are always to confront evil with justice, for love demands it. We are not to let evil to run wild or cause injury, pain, suffering, destruction, or death to another person or animal or business or organization. Peace should always be the objective with your neighbors. Amen? Amen. So, man, I think you're just spamming, but I don't know why you posted 3 times. But hey, Crystal Fortune, you're here. Glory to God. They have unlimited amount of food in heaven. So we praise God. I'm here to spread the goodwill of Jesus. Oh, all right. Great Wall of China. You're so funny. I read your word. It says Great Wall of China. All right, cool. Anyways, retaliation and revenge can consume our hearts, causing us to forget peace, love, and justice. As a result, we might find ourselves striking out in bitterness, hostility, injustice. But a heart that is acceptable to God is one who seeks peace, brotherly compassion, justice among all people and everywhere. A godly heart never seeks retaliation or revenge. So listen to what God says about revenge and retaliation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. He says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cloak, on your right cheek, turn your other cheek to him also. That's not saying abuse is right. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it's possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. God is calling us to be at peace. It's not easy. Yeah, it's not easy, right, Crystal? Yeah. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. We should build one another up. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord, and the holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. Do not render evil for evil, or railing for railing, insult for evil, insult, but give blessings instead, for you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit the blessings. Amen. Wow. God is good. So, I hope you guys had a good Sunday. Today, this Sunday, I preached, connected with people, was able to plan on next steps. But God is good. And so, what time is it right now, Crystal? Fortunes? He woke you up. Wow. Well, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you for that you allowed us to live in your presence and that you build us up. Father God, I pray that you would show us the right way and that we would have a heart that is after your own will, your goodness, your mercy, that we will not have an evil heart that lets injustice just happen right in front of us. Let us stand up for what is good. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for you, Lord God. Let us not be evil or covet or murder or anything like that, but instead walk in your ways. Lord, we thank you that we have been given the wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and discernment to be able to discern what is right and wrong in our life. So Lord, I pray that you would help us eradicate all active and passive sins that are in our life. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Wow, you must be in Texas. Are you in Texas? Yeah? Okay, or Oklahoma. My cousin is in Oklahoma. What active, number one question, what active and passive sin are you struggling with? I used to struggle with a lot of gaming addiction. I struggle with perfection sometimes. I struggle with, I don't know, sometimes I'm just super positive, just believing the best. So, yeah. Sometimes I get lazy. Slothfulness, that's a big thing in my life. But I work hard now. I really work hard to serve the Lord, to build His kingdom. And then number two, how does the good news of Jesus Christ shape your response to sin in your life? I know that the good news of Jesus, He came from heaven to earth so that you can have a relationship with God, so that you can go from earth to heaven and have just a connection with Him. He came from heaven being divine and gave up all He had to be human, to die on the cross for you, to be a perfect living sacrifice, and then to give in you a new life. He defeated sin and death and raised in 3 days in victory. So now, how does He shape my response to sin in my life? Well, I can flee from it. I can reject it. I can say it had no longer has hold on me. I can say I live in victory of Jesus Christ, in His breakthrough, in His love, in His life, in His faith, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Letter to God. Today we're praying for Switzerland. The capital is Bern. There's 8.5 million people. 74% of them are Christians. 17% are agnostic. And Switzerland is a famous and beautiful place, known for its Alps, neutral political standing, and being one of the wealthiest countries in the world. This nation has produced the great Christian reformers like Ulrich Zwingli and John Calvin, and many of the established churches are seeing a decline in attendance as younger people seek newer spiritual experiences. In this view of this, many Christian agencies are developing new ways of spreading the gospel that addresses modern day issues. And that's why, princess, we should say, to pray for those who seek spiritual experiences to realize that Christ alone can satisfy. And number two is to praise God for the Christians who are finding new ways to share the good news of Jesus. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we lift up the country of Switzerland. We pray for the population there that you would allow them to see your face, allow them to build their life upon your firm foundation. Allow them to spread the word and to be rooted in you. Lord God, there's no one like you. So Father God, I pray that your hand would be upon this country. Allow more Christians to be developed and not to chase after the universe, chase after the devil or the things of the world. Instead, chase after you and let you alone who can satisfy. Lord God, we praise you for Christians who continue to stay rooted in you, strong in you, and to follow you. And we pray that you would continue building each and everyone here. Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening, that you build them up, lead them, and also give them healing, understanding, and wisdom. Man, my words are jumbled, but everything they need in their life. We love you, God. We trust you. We know you have greater plans for each one of us. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Glory to God. If you have any questions, any comments, let me know. I can talk about it. But today, it might have been a shorter stream. But it's still good. I had a stream earlier, but I still need to make some videos. Still need to prepare for tomorrow. Videos for tomorrow. Create videos. And then continue glorifying Him. I thank you guys for joining me. And it's been powerful. It's a powerful thing for you guys to join me so that we can continue growing together and learning together and seeing God transform us. Amen. But you know, I'm so thankful for you. Thanks for the thumbs up, the like, subscribe, follow. Greater things are yet to come. May God bless you and continue building you up. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you guys next time. Tune in for daily devotion. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Crystal Fortune. Thank you, everyone. You. May God bless you guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.